الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إنا نحن نزلنا الذكر وإنا له لحافظون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: اقرأوا القرآن فإنه يأتي يوم القيامة شفيعا لأصحابه، أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. الله سبحانه وتعالى has created us and sent us into this world to do those things which make him happy, and to abstain from, to stay away from those things which make him unhappy. The things which make him happy are the faraid, wajibat, sunan, mustahabbat, nawafil. Those things that he has made fard, compulsory. Those things which he has made incumbent, wajib. Those things which are called sunnats and those things which are called mustahab. So if we carry out a fard, Allah becomes happy. If we carry out a wajib, Allah becomes happy. If we carry out a sunnah, Allah becomes happy. If we carry out a mustahab, Allah becomes happy. If we carry out a nafl, Allah becomes happy. And if we stay away from haram, Allah becomes happy. If we stay away from makruh tahrimi, Allah becomes happy. If we stay away from makruh tanzihi, Allah becomes happy. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent us into this world to do those things which make him happy. And what makes him happy? Fard. What makes him happy? Wajib. What makes him happy? Sunnah. What makes him happy? Mustahab. What makes him happy? Nafl. What makes him happy? Staying away from haram. What makes him happy? Staying away from makruh tahrimi. What makes him happy? Staying away from makruh tanzihi. And Allah also sent us into into this world to stay away from those things which make Allah unhappy. What makes Allah unhappy? Haram. Makruh tahrimi. Not carrying out fard, not carrying out wajib. So if we commit something which is haram, Allah becomes unhappy. So we should stay away from haram. If we do something which is makruh tahrimi, Allah becomes unhappy. So we should stay away from makruh tahrimi. If we miss something which is fard, Allah becomes unhappy. So we should make sure we never miss fard. If we miss wajib, Allah becomes unhappy. So we should make sure we never miss wajib. So Allah has sent us into this world to do those things which make Him happy. And Allah has sent us into this world to stay away from those things which make Allah unhappy. Carrying out farz will make Him happy. Carrying out wajib will make Him happy. Carrying out sunnah will make Him happy. Carrying out mustahab will make Him happy. Carrying out nafla which will make Him happy. Staying away from haram will make Him happy. Staying away from makruh tahrimi will make Him happy. Staying away from makruh tanzihi will make Him happy. Doing haram will make Him unhappy. Doing makruh tahrimi will make Him unhappy. Missing farz will make Him unhappy. Missing wajib will make Him unhappy. So now we have to know what is fard, what is wajib, what is sunnah, what is mustahab, what is nafl, what is haram, what is makruh tahrimi, what is makruh tanzihi, because without knowing all this, we will not be able to make Allah happy. If we don't know watching film is haram, if we don't know it is haram, then we will not know if I watch film, Allah will become unhappy. So we will watch film and make Allah unhappy because we don't know. If we don't know performing Zohar Salat is fard, if we don't know that if I don't perform Zohar Salat, Allah will become unhappy because it is fard. We will miss fard, Zohar Salat, and Allah will become unhappy. So in order to keep Allah happy, we need to know what is fard, what is wajib, what is sunnah, what is mustahab, what is nafl, what is haram, what is makruh tahrimi, what is makruh tanzihi. Without knowing all this, we will never be able to keep Allah happy. We will always make mistakes. We come to the madrasa to learn this. What is fard? What is wajib? What is sunnah? What is mustahab? What is nafl? What is haram? What is makruh tahrimi? What is makruh? This is why we come to the madrasa. If we don't come to the madrasa, we will not know all this. And if we do not know all this, we will not be able to keep Allah happy and make Allah happy. So from this, my dear children, you will very easily understand how important madrasa is. Your father knows that Fajr Salat is fard, and if I don't perform Fajr Salat, Allah will become unhappy. He knows Zohar is fard, and if I don't perform Zohar, Allah will become unhappy. He knows Asar is fard. If I don't perform Asar, Allah will become unhappy. Ask your father, where did you learn this from? Ask him. From lectures? From books? He will say, I learned this when I was your age in the madrasa. Madrasa is the only place that teaches what makes Allah happy in general and what makes Allah unhappy. This is where the seed of being a good Muslim is planted, in the madrasa. So parents fathers, mothers, and children. The whole community should feel proud of the madrasa and they should support the madrasa from all aspects, from all angles, in whatever way possible. The madrasa should never crumble. The madrasa should always remain firm and strong, and it should always progress. The parents should admit and enroll their children in the madrasa. The parents should make sure that their children come to the madrasa with punctuality, daily. And they come on time and leave only on time. The parents should make sure that without dire necessity, the child does not stay absent from the madrasa. The parents should make sure that the child learns its lesson before coming to the madrasa. The parent should make sure that the child practices what it is learning in the madrasa. This is all part of supporting the madrasa, strengthening the madrasa. And as far as the students, the children are concerned, they should make sure they never stay absent. They don't look for excuses to stay absent from madrasa. Headache, earache, toothache, pain in the neck, school homework, school exams. All these are excuses. In my time, when I was studying here in Madrasa Islamia, in 1970s, when I was 10 year old, 11, 12, 13, 14, when, in my days, the students used to write GCE. CSE and GCE. It was later combined as GCSE, two in one. So we used to write two exams separately. And you are writing two exams in one. In those days, that the thought did not even occur to the students that because I am going to write my examination tomorrow, GCSC, how can I go to the madrasa the previous day? No. That thought didn't occur. It was normal to write an examination the following day with attendance in madrasa. Because when we are writing examinations, we have breakfast the day before the examination. We don't say that today I can't have breakfast because I have to prepare for my examination. The lunch continues. The supper continues. Relieving oneself in the lavatory continues. Text messages continue. Talking to friends on the phone continue. Lazing around here and there continues. Sleeping, everything continues. The only thing that we discontinue is the madrasa. And with the attendance of the madrasa, with the barakah of the madrasa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help used to descend and the students used to pass with high grades. We can manage our time in such a way that we do not have to miss madrasa. But no, we look for excuses. Excuses, why? Because shaitan makes us do that. Shaitan knows that when a student goes to the madrasa for 1 hour, 2 hours, he is in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is rewarding him all the time. When a person walks to the madrasa, his walking to the madrasa makes his path to Jannah easy. When he recites the Quran in front of his teacher, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سَيَقُولُ السُّفَهَاءُ مِنَ النَّاسِ مَا وَلَّاهُمْ. On every letter Allah is granting him 10 rewards. So shaitan feels, shaitan thinks that if this student goes to the madrasa, he will go empty-handed and come back with heaps of reward, which will grant him bounties in Jannah. So let me somehow convince him to miss one day. So sometimes headache becomes an excuse. Sometimes cold and flu becomes an excuse. Sometimes preparation for examination becomes an excuse. Sometimes wedding becomes an excuse. Sometimes holiday becomes an excuse. Madrasa is very important. The education that we acquire in madrasa makes a person not only a good Muslim, but also a good human and a good citizen. If a person practices what he learns in the madrasa, he will never find himself at the police station. He will never find himself in the court. He will never find himself behind bars in the jail. Because our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam has taught us only good things, not anything bad. So madrasa is an asset not only to the Muslim community, non-Muslim community also. Madrasa is an asset for the country we live in also. It is an asset for everybody. Madrasa is an asset for the schools. Because the student who studies properly in a madrasa, he will be taught to respect his teachers, be they Muslims or non-Muslims. So he will be very respectful to the teachers in the madrasa, in the school as well. Madrasa will teach a student to work hard in acquiring those sciences which are beneficial. Mathematics, science, geography, history. So a good Muslim student will become a good student in the college as well, in the university as well, in the school as well. We are taught in the madrasa not to cheat, not to loot, not to steal, not to hurt anybody, not to oppress anybody. We are taught only. We are taught not to cheat a Muslim and a non-Muslim. Both. Never to cheat anybody, be he Muslim or non-Muslim. Do not oppress anybody, be that person Muslim or non-Muslim. Do not steal from anybody, be that person Muslim or non-Muslim. Do not kill anybody, be that person Muslim or non-Muslim. All this we are taught in the madrasa. We are taught not even to kill an ant. We are taught not even to kill a bird. We are taught to be merciful, not only to the Muslims, non-Muslims, not only to the humans, animals also. Irhamu man fil ard. Be merciful to all those people who live on this earth. Man la yarham la yurham. We are taught that one who is not merciful will not receive mercy from Allah. Where are we taught all these things? In the madrasa, in the maktab. In this evening madrasa, two and a half hours. We are taught to help poor. We are taught to help destitute. We are taught in this maktab, madrasa, that when you see an old lady carrying two shopping bags, then move forward and help her. Help her carry her bags. We are taught in the madrasa that if you are traveling in a bus, and you see an elderly person, you see somebody more older than you, get into the bus and there is no place, get up for that person out of respect. Be that person Muslim or non-Muslim and give them your seat. So a person who studies well in the madrasa and he practices what he is taught is not an asset for himself only, is not an asset for his parents only, for his family only, for his community only, for Muslims only. No, he is an asset for everybody. Wherever he will go, he will be beneficial. He will be beneficial for Muslims, he will be beneficial for non-Muslims, he will be beneficial for young, for old, for men, for women, for humans, for animals, everybody. So parents' responsibilities, children's responsibility, you must attend your madrasa daily and come on time and leave on time. Rather, come before time and leave after time. You should come 5 minutes early and leave 5 minutes late. And not only in madrasa, even in school, this should be the behavior of a good Muslim child. School and madrasa both. We should go on time and leave on time. We should not go late, not leave early. And after madrasa, after school, we should not loiter around here and there. We should go home. We should not worry our parents. We should go home straight away. Learn your lesson before coming to the madrasa. And don't remain in the class with your body only, with your heart and mind. Because sometimes your body could be in the madrasa at 5 o'clock and it will remain in the madrasa until 7:30, the body. But mind is somewhere else. Mind is in football. Mind is in cricket. Mind is in the weekend. Mind is in something else. No, we should be present in the class with the body and with the mind and the soul. The heart should be there as well. We should focus on the lesson. We should very attentively listen to what the teacher is saying, what our ustad is saying, what our muallim is saying. We should understand, we should grasp, we should follow the instructions of our teacher. When we go home, we should sit down and do our homework. Whatever good we learn, we teach our siblings, our parents at home as well, our parents, grandparents. We practice ourselves and we ask them to practice also. This is our responsibility. So the responsibility of the parents, responsibility of the children, and the responsibility of the whole community is to financially and morally and physically support the madaris. Madrasa is a fortress which will protect and safeguard our future generations, which will protect and safeguard their iman, their deen, their akhlaq, their characters, their morals, their progress, their future. Future in this world and in the hereafter, it will safeguard and protect their jannah, their salvation in the hereafter. And if their salvation is safeguarded, inshallah, our salvation will be safeguarded. A story for the children. In this day and age, we leave our homes to acquire ilm, to learn. From where? From Mir Road to Berner Street. How long does it take? We come at 5 o'clock and leave at 7:30. And if we live in the Evington area and we come all the way to Masjid-e-Noor or Academy, then we come in car. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, in the comfort of the car, air condition. And whilst we are coming or whilst we are going, we have a packet of crisps also in our hands, or we are munching away with the chocolate. All comfort. In the olden days, people had to travel far and wide. Far and wide. On camels, on horses. In their early teens, they would leave their homes. Mid-teens, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he left his home to learn more, because by the age of 16, he had learned everything that the ulama had in Bukhara. The ulama, the teachers that were there in Bukhara, where Imam Bukhari rahmatullah resided, He had learnt everything, whatever they had by the age of 16. He had taken everything from them. By the age of 15, 16, he had memorized 70,000 ahadith. Allama Qastalani rahmatullahi alayhi writes. So when he saw that in Bukhara there is nothing more to learn, I need to go elsewhere. So from Bukhara he traveled, from Russia. He traveled and he came to Saudi Arabia in Makkah Mukarrama. At the age of 16. Without knowing anybody in Makkah Mukarrama, without any relatives in Makkah Mukarrama, no resources. He came to Makkah Mukarrama at the age of 16. Then he traveled to Medina Munawwara. From Medina Munawwara, Saudi Arabia, he traveled to Iraq. He went to Baghdad. He went to Kufa. He went to Basra. And he continued going from one place to another. I have learnt whatever I wanted to from this teacher, taken everything, now I will go to the next teacher. I have taken everything from here, I will go to the next teacher. I have taken everything from him, I will go to the next teacher. How many teachers did he go to? One thousand and eighty teachers he visited and he took ilm from them. So there was a young student, Yahya ibn Yahya al-Laythi al-Undulusi rahimahullahu ta'ala. He traveled all the way from Spain to Medina Munawwara to acquire ilm. All the way from Spain to Saudi Arabia, Medina Munawwara, where the great Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi was teaching. And the ilm Allah had granted him, Allahu Akbar. People used to travel from all four corners of the world to acquire ilm. So he traveled. And every day, Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi had a fixed time. He used to come in Masjid Nabawi. He would sit in his place. And students in dozens, hundreds used to come and they used to seek ilm from him, learn from him. Now students are students. So one day, they had all gathered when suddenly somebody cried from outside, elephant, elephant, elephant. Now elephant did not exist in the Arab world. These people had never seen an elephant. So all the students left because the teacher was not there yet. So they went outside to look at an elephant. They had never seen an elephant. They had never seen a photo of an elephant in those days. Yahya ibn Yahya al-Laythi al-Undulusi rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was also a young man, teenager. He remained in his seat. He did not leave. And when Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi entered the class, to his surprise, there was only one student in the class today. So he said, Yahya, where is everybody? So he said, there is an elephant in Medina Munawwara and they have gone to see the elephant. Because in the Arab world, elephant does not exist. They had not seen an elephant. Listen very carefully, my students. How important our attendance in class is. So Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi said, Yahya, do you have elephants in Spain? He said, no. Spain is same as Arabia. Elephants are in Africa, elephants are in India, not in Spain, no. Have you ever seen an elephant in your life? He said, no. I have not seen an elephant in my life. She said, why did you not go outside with everybody? Students, please pay attention, all of you. Why did you not go outside to look at an elephant? So Yahya ibn Yahya al-Laythi rahmatullahi alayhi said, Hazrat, oh my Shaykh, oh my teacher, I have not traveled all the way from Spain to Medina Munawwara to look at an elephant. I have come all the way from Spain to here to learn ilm from you. So why should I go to look at an elephant? I am here, I want to learn from you. Imam Malik rahmatullahi alayhi became very happy and he must have prayed, made dua for his student that, oh Allah, grant him progress in his ilm. So what happened? Today, the book of Hadith written by Imam Malik Rahmatullah alayhi, Muwatta Imam Malik, is studied by all the ulama throughout the world. A person cannot become an alim until he studies Muwatta Imam Malik. Very important kitab. Imam Shafi Rahmatullah alayhi used to say before the compilation of Bukhari Sharif that the most authentic book after the Quran is Muwatta Imam Malik. Very important kitab. Who is this kitab narrated by? How did this kitab reach the ummah? Through Yahya ibn Yahya al-Laythi. He noted down each and every word. And because his teacher had become very happy with him and his teacher had prayed for him, so Allah accepted him after Imam Malik rahmatullah alayhi. People used to come to him to learn. And it continued until today. The chain continues. This is the zeal that we need to have, that no, I cannot miss my class. I cannot miss my class. Why should you be told by Maulana Ayaz Sahib or by your teacher that don't stay absent? Why were you absent yesterday? No, you should know your responsibility towards ilm. The parents also need to understand responsibilities for petty excuses. Petty excuses. We make them miss madrasa. And excuses more greater than those excuses are existing, but we still send our children to school. I am not differentiating between school and madrasa. Both are important. And our children should not remain absent neither from school nor madrasa. My complaint is that why do you differentiate between the two? As Muslims, why do you not give importance to the madrasa education? Why do you take madrasa very lightly? If we go out somewhere on a long weekend, we leave our home on Friday evening and come back Monday. When do we leave? Long weekend. When do we leave? We will leave at 4 o'clock. Why? Why 4 o'clock? Because until 3:30, my child is at school. So why cannot our mindset be that we cannot leave at 4 o'clock, we will leave at 8 o'clock because my child is in madrasa until 7:30. The parents are free on a Friday. The father is not working, mother is not working, and they want to leave. But no, we can't go until 4 o'clock. Why? Because the child is in the school. So why not? We cannot leave until 8 o'clock because the child is in madrasa. We are okay on Saturday. We are okay on Sunday. We are okay on Monday as well. Why? Because no school. It's only madrasa in the evening. So we can come back at 9 o'clock in the evening. So why not Tuesday afternoon? Because 8 o'clock school in the morning. So we make sure that we leave only after school and we come back before the school, but we do not have the same consideration for the madrasa. Why? Why this difference? A child should not miss madrasa because of school examination, and similarly a child should not miss madrasa because of madrasa examination. We treat both equally. But that is not what the parents do. School examination, the child will not come to the madrasa the previous day. But madrasa examination, the child will not take a day off from the school. Why? Why this difference? You are all Muslims. Is it because you feel that your child will gain more from secular education than the dini education? Secular education will help your child in this world only, and dini education will help your child in this world and also in the hereafter. Be moderate. Be moderate. Give everything its due right. Give madrasa its due right. Give school its due right. Give secular education its due right. Give dini education its due right. So my friends, let us make a firm resolution that inshallah, we will give importance to our madrasa. I don't have to say, make a firm resolution that we will give importance to school, because everybody gives importance to school. If there was any deficiency there, I would have said the same. Give importance to your school. But we don't. I will just narrate one thing before concluding. Imam Abu Yusuf rahimahullah ta'ala, the great imam. He says that from the time I enrolled in the madrasa of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi until he passed away, I did not stay absent even for a second from the madrasa. From the day I enrolled until I graduated, not for a second. And how was the madrasa run? Fixed time from 5 till 7:30? No. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi may start after Fajr and he may continue for 1 hour and he may say come back after 2 hours. He may continue for 2 hours and then say come back after 1 hour. He may continue for 3 hours, 4 hours until Zohar. You had to remain free all day. And he may say that I will teach again after Zohar until Asar. He may say after Asar also I want to continue my lesson. Not for a second did I stay absent. And he said, one day I was learning from Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala. He was lecturing and somebody whispered in my ear that your child had passed away. Your child has passed away. He thought that if I leave and go home, I will miss my lesson. So he said, I whispered back and said that make preparations, bury my child. I cannot leave my class. When you give such importance to your ilm, you become Imam Abu Yusuf. And my children, try to behave in your class in such a way that your teachers become happy with you. And when your teachers become, if you behave in such a way that your teacher becomes happy with you and in his heart and in his mind, he is saying that, oh Allah, make him something. Oh Allah, make him. One day you will become a very famous personality. Very famous personality. Famous throughout the world, inshallah. So let us all go from here with this firm resolution that inshallah we will give importance to the ilm. We will give importance to madrasa education inshallah. And the parents also, my brothers, my sisters, all of you who are listening at this moment, ilm is important for each and every person and ilm has no shore. Ilm has no shore. Nobody can say, I have acquired enough. No. Ilm continues. I am 51 years old, I am still a student. I am still learning. Maulana Ayaz Sahib is approximately 40, he is still learning. Mufti Suleiman is 40 learning. Mufti Ayub Sahib is 40 learning. We are all learning. Maulana Wali Sahib is much older than me. He is in his 60s, he is still a student. We are all learning. Utlubul ilma min al mahdi ila al lahd. We remain a student from our childhood until we go in the grave. So all of you also read authentic books written by reliable authentic ulama under the supervision of good ulama. All of you sit in the company of the ulama, in the durus of the ulama, in the lectures of the ulama. And learn. The more we learn, the more complete our deen becomes. And the less we learn, the more incomplete our deen remains. And if our deen is incomplete, our success will be incomplete. And if our deen is complete, our success will be complete. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.